Another pod to preview the season. Sam's on draft 4000, whilst Jules is on holiday. We discuss team balance, which premiums we're going for, and just how many differentials. Hello, welcome back. Your usual Thursday ritual has now resumed for the season. FPL Pod back with you in our usual time slot each and every week. And you might be thinking, but the season hasn't started. But of course, as we know, the planning very much has. We're all, I think, on draft about 478. Sam's on about 560,000. I think Jules has just opened the app last night once again. But here we are back together, FPL Pod, Jules, Kelly and Sam with you. First things first, actually, before I ask you guys how you are, you all messaged us saying, what is the FPL Pod mini league code? We have got it. We have sorted it out. It is XY6XPL. So please do join. We love seeing all of you guys in there. I wonder who's going to be first. Make sure you join us. Play against us and we'll see who comes out on top. Jules, Sam, firstly, how's the last week been? Jules, you're in... I don't even want to know where you're at.
No,
you are,
please say,
very sunny.
It's France. Very sunny. It's sunny France, exactly. On my little island, you know, on Ile de Ré, which is beautiful to prepare for FPL season.
And I noticed that when I said you'd only reopened the app last night, you didn't deny it, you didn't protest. Have you been focusing on that FPL team whilst on your holidays?
No, I've watched a lot of football, but it's just that, you know, there's a lot of things going on here. So last night I prepared for the show and, you know, did a few drafts last night as well. So I'm ready.
Yeah, you've played a few card games just before that, didn't you? And just when you got into bed, you thought, oh, I better open the app. Sam, on the other hand, is part of FPL family. So all she does is sit on the app, correct?
Correct, yeah.
She never closes the app.
It's always open. It's like constantly running. It's why my phone's never got any battery because I'm just constantly making FPL teams at the minute. In fact, as I was coming on here, I said to the producers, I was like, oh, I'm still just trying to find 0.5 so I can save this new draft because I quite liked it. But now I'm looking at it in front of me. I don't like it so much as I like the one that I had before I was coming on here. So it might go back again. But yeah, I'm so indecisive at the minute. I still want a bench boost in game week one. And so that's affecting all my decisions because obviously I keep building really nice 11s and then the bench is awful. And I think, oh, I can't bench boost then, can I? So I have to keep changing it back again. But yeah. I'm very indecisive at the moment, Kels. It's a bit of an issue.
The bad news is, Sam, you've still got over 2 weeks to tinker with those drafts.
That's a good thing. That's definitely good. I need that time.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same at the moment. My draft has changed quite a lot. In fact, let's get straight into it. Jules can give us a little bit. No, in fact, before we discuss drafts, I actually think I'm changing my mind about the script live as we do this pod, which isn't the best presenting, but I think you guys who listen to this know what I'm like now. We just go with the flow. Jules, give us a little pre-season update. You've promised us you've been watching all the football out there. And I know that you do it as a way to escape the kids. You go and watch all the football and pretend it's prep. So tell us what you've learned from an FPL point of view. What have you noticed?
So by the time you listen to the show, you might have rewatched it or known, but Manchester United played last night. They won 4-1 against Bournemouth. They actually played really well. Rasmus Højlund started up front and he scored. Bruno Fernandes played deeper as a sixth with Casemiro. We had Ahmad in one of the two tens. We also scored, Dorgu scored, so it was a good day for Manchester United. It was not so good so far in this preseason for Newcastle, who still don't have Alexander Isak, who lost against Arsenal. Elanga scored, but they lost 3-2. It's three losses for them. We saw the first goal for Florian Wirtz and Liverpool yesterday, with a frimpong assist as well on the second goal for Liverpool. They beat Yokohama 3-1, although they were a goal down. What else? Spurs, I mean, great performance, Sam, against Luton. 0-0, let's move on. Kudus played, didn't do that. Actually, that great. Arsenal, we saw goals from Saka and Odegaard, Marino, Zubimendi made his debut as well. And they are playing later today as we record the show on Thursday against Tottenham and in the North London Derby, kind of. And we expect probably Victor Gyökeres, the new signing, to make his debut. And maybe finally, Aston Villa beat Everton last night. They beat St. Louis last night as well. Goal for Rodgers and Watkins. There's a lot of talk about Watkins' future. And West Ham beat Everton with a goal from Paqueta and another one from Fulkrug.
Even by your standards, you've surpassed yourself there, Jules. Well done.
That's impressive.
Some of those games happened through the night. Did you even sleep?
Well, some are kick-off in the night, but quite early. Others are like morning time. Others midday. So it's pretty good. It's pretty easy to follow, really. The Liverpool game was yesterday at a decent time, for example. So yeah, it hasn't been too hard this preseason.
Okay, so we're going to do some drafts now. And I'm going to be honest, I've been trying to do drafts this week. Well, not trying, but I've been lured into doing no Salah drafts. As it stands, he is back in my team because it just hurt too much not to have him. In fact, did it? What did I settle on? So sorry, this is live again, me checking. Yeah, no, sorry. I did. I thought last night as I did it, as I laid in bed, I thought, I can't go on the podcast and say I've not got Mo Salah in. But I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I'm considering it. And that's mainly because of Florian Wirtz scoring. I've been lured into the fact he's a little bit cheaper. Jules, you got in my head and said maybe he's not going to be the main man. So I'm intrigued as to how you thought Liverpool's performance were and how he played in particular, Mo Salah. I know it is only pre-season though.
Yeah, I mean, he started on the right-hand side, which you expect, with Ekitike up front on his own, played 46 minutes. The new signing, who's an interesting player, but didn't do too much in that first half. We had Gakpo on the left, who hit the post and did quite well. And then Wirtz as a number 10. Wirtz scored in the second half when Salah was also still on the pitch. And everything else pretty much changed around them. But Mo Salah looked like Mo Salah. I'm not sure how interested he really is in friendlies and preseason stuff. He looked sharp and fit, no problem. And Liverpool are still finding their feet a little bit with Wirtz and a slightly change, obviously, in the way they're going to play the season. No more Luis Diaz, for example. So you two were big fans of Luis Diaz last season. He's not there anymore. I don't know if Ekitike is a great option right now because we don't know enough about him maybe in this team. But I think I don't think you should read too much into Salah's performances in pre-season.
Oh, it's not helped me at all, has it? Let's be honest. Sorry. I'm going to end up with him in my team in game week 1 because I'm a sheep and I get scared, aren't I? Let's see where everyone else's drafts are at then, because as you can tell, mine is in chaos. Sam, you've already teased us that yours is in similar chaos. Talk us through this draft that is 0.5 short. That is the worst possible way to be short.
I mean, I've saved it now by pulling 0.5 out of a defender, which I'm not loving. And it's also got so many compromises that I still don't really like it. But I've still got Trafford and Kelleher in goal, obviously waiting to see what happens with the Manchester City number one slot. Because obviously if it's not Trafford's, then I can downgrade him anyway and have a 2 4.5s, and that will massively help because that will free up the 0.5 that I've been moaning about this morning. And then the back line is where I've taken most of the money from. So I've still got two premium defenders, still got Aitnori in there. I've swapped from Kerkez to Virgil van Dijk at the minute, a bit, probably it is a little bit sheepish, but the security of starts and him, the video that Liverpool released of him taking set pieces. And I was like, oh, Virgil, come on then. You can feel like the safe bet and the safest way into the Liverpool defence. So he's there. I've changed up Cucurella for Carwell just to save some money more than anything, but keep investment in that Chelsea defence going. So that's happened. Van de Ven's still there. And then the major compromise is having gone down from Tarkowski to Joe Roden, ex-Spurs now at Leeds. So not loving that pick, but equally don't mind it for game week 1 and the potential bench boost. And then after that, he'd be my benched player every week anyway, so it feels okay. Midfield, Salah and Wirtz. I think the double up of the Liverpool attack feels like where I want to be this year. So I've got both of them. I've changed Johnson out for Kudus to save a little bit of money. We'll see how he plays against Arsenal later. And then the rest of the midfield is a little bit punty. So Lefebvre, there's a little bit of a bandwagon going for him at the moment. I think at the value point, he offers quite a decent value option, and you obviously have to have some of those. So I'm not saying that I think he's going to compete with the best of the best in terms of points in the midfield, but I think there's potential that he gets some points across the course of the season. And that's important, obviously, when you're thinking about a bench boost team. And then the rogue pick at the moment is Cherki. I don't love this pick at all. However, I need to find 0.5, another 0.5 to get from him to Morgan Rogers, who I really like in that position. And I do want to cover out the Man City attack in some form or another. So to be decided there. And then the front three, Solanke, Jao, Pedro remain the same. Jokeres is in there now as well. That's the problem, is that having 2 7.5s and a 9 in the forward line, that's a lot across that line. And obviously, if I'd have stuck with my Everton attacker, I'm 3 million better off. And that 3 million goes a long way across the rest of the team. But I just felt really uncertain about going into the season without any Arsenal players at all. So the opportunity to have him for a million less than Saka was attractive. So I don't know how I'll eventually land with this. It's not exactly loving it. I feel like there's a lot of players that I really want that I don't have, like Rodgers, who has started preseason well, but it does cover a lot of the good price points and gives flexibility. It's just missing a couple.
Ours were quite similar until we got into the midfield, and then they changed quite drastically.
Okay.
And Jules, talk, but then mine's still got, it's like you, it feels like there's a lot of compromises, and I've done similar to you in terms of, it feels like I've taken a bit of money out of the defence, and I think a lot of people are going to have to do that, to be honest. Jules, yeah. What about you? How's yours looking before I come on to mine?
I mean, quite different to the ones on the opening show of this season.
Thank goodness for that.
Because you insulted me on the goalkeepers, I got rid of them, to be fair. I went for Kelleher and Trafford.
Copycat.
Like Sam. Yeah, copycat. But I think Trafford
would be
the
number one
pick.
I wasn't Trafford, to be fair, actually. I've copied you on that. As soon as he made the move, I changed him to my second. Go on.
Yeah, you don't spend that money if he's not your starting goalkeeper anyway.
Exactly.
But City have just now gone back to training, so they haven't played a game since the Club World Cup, for example, so we need to just wait a little bit more. But I don't have much doubts on Trafford being the number one. Defensively, Adrien Truffert, who is the replacement for Cole Kirkes at Bournemouth, I think would be a very nice enabler at 4.5 and quite a nice pick. But for the rest, the defense is the same. There's Zaid Nouri, there's obviously my boy Saliba, Tarkovsky, Renildo, Sunderland, that I spoke about last time. The big change really is I got rid of Erling Haaland for now. As you know, I wanted Haaland and Salah, but the Gyökeres move for Arsenal, I think it's really appealing at 9 million for Gyökeres, even if we haven't seen him yet wearing the shirt. And it's the number 14 as well, so it's a special shirt. But for now, if you go for Gyökeres instead of Haaland, you save £5.5 million. So it's a lot of money that then, like a bit like what Sam was saying with Solanke, you can redistribute to the rest of your team. So the front three, João Pedro, Gyökeres and Welbeck or Beto as a 6.5, but I can go lower and have more money than for midfield. But the big change, of course, if you don't have Haaland, but still Salah and Gyökeres, that means you got money for Cole Palmer, for example. So right now, Cole Palmer is in the team. It could be Wirtz, it could be Saka, it could be really whoever you want. Bruno, there's no problem. If there's no Haaland, you can pretty do whatever you want alongside Salah, even with a Gyökeres and a Palmer there. So the midfield is Salah, Palmer, Reinders, because I think Shecky is my boy too. But I don't know if he's going to start. I don't know if Fellaini is going to start. I don't know if Marmoush is going to start. Nobody knows really. But I think Reinders is more likely to start than any of the others. So Reinders is there. Caicedo, especially for all those defensive contributions points. And then Adingra, who started really well with Sunderland, scored the other day for Sunderland. Mm-hmm. Maybe more than Lefebvre because he's a winger when Lefebvre will play a bit deeper. And I think Adingra has experience in the Premier League. I think can be very good for them. So Adingra is there for now.
Okay, so I like that all of our teams are so different at the moment because mine's kind of a few players that you guys have got. So I've got Trafford and Kelleher as my goalkeepers. Then I've got Konsa. I think that will change. I've got Virgil van Dijk. I bought him in, I think it was last night, just because I think there's a bit of a bandwagon growing for him. And in terms of, he's my 6 million at the moment. I've still got Saliba, though I don't love the Arsenal opening fixtures. And then I've got Dakalpa at Brighton. And then Ronaldo, Jules, you kind of got in my head, but I did a little bit of research, you'll be pleased to know, after the podcast, and decided that he could provide a bit of value for money, and ultimately he's going to be on my bench quite a bit. Then in midfield, I've got Rodgers, I've got Wirtz, I've got Salah. I've still got Saka because of all the reasons I said on the last show. I have got Lewis Miley as my 4.5 that's going to be firmly on my bench. I'm not bench boosting in game week one. Then I've still got Pedro and Bowen, and I've got Beto in there at the moment, but that needs to change. I need to sort out the balance a little bit because I don't really want to be playing, as it stands, I'm going to have to play I suppose I could play four at the back, but as it stands, I'm having to play Beto, because I don't want to play Lewis Miley. So yeah, I need to redistribute some funds and maybe upgrade one of those, I think, but that's where I'm at. I'm happier than my last draft because when I came on this pod last time, I had some terrible players, didn't I? Let's be honest. But yeah, getting there.
Thing is, if you'd got Gyökeres instead of Saka, you save a million, then that 5.5 million becomes a 6.5 midfielder and that feels a lot more balanced.
It's things like that where I need to find a better, or does, for example, Saka become Cole Palmer and then I downgrade? Yeah. Well, actually, I don't really want to downgrade. João Pedro is quite cheap at 7.5. Do I definitely want Jared Bowen? I don't know. So that's another thing. At one point, I had, when I didn't have Salah, I had Ollie Watkins as well. But then I realised I've got Morgan Rogers, so I don't want Ollie Watkins as well. Really, depending on, as Jules said, there's a little bit of speculation around him as well. Yeah. I have taken quite a lot of money out of the defence, like you, Sam. I had to get rid of Tarkowski, and I don't love that. Like I felt 5.5 for someone like him was really good value given the new defensive point system. So yeah, I need to take some money out. I just don't quite know where at the moment. So yeah. Mm. Jules, keep us posted on pre-season, yeah? Because we need to find a few gems.
Bowen scored the other day, by the way, and looked good.
Yeah. Don't tell her that. She needs to hear that he's doing badly so she can get rid of him.
I did see, I would have, but I have been tracking and also in true me form, he plays for England. I'm interviewing him, I think next week or the week after. So it kind of, just my blind loyalty, isn't it? But I also quite like Cole Palmer for that reason. So yeah, also I didn't, before I think I had, I've gone to Verts, but I had Marmoush. And so I've lost a little bit of money there. There's a lot of money going in that Liverpool attack all of a sudden. In fact, there's a lot of money going in Liverpool, which they are the champions, so it feels sensible. But yeah, I don't know. It feels there's a long way to go, but I'm slightly happier than I was. I think so anyway. Which players are you missing, Jules, or are you desperate for, or are you mainly not sure about?
Well, I mean, the dilemma for me, as you know, obviously by now, is Erling Haaland. Gyökeres is much cheaper. Is he going to score as many goals as Haaland? I don't think so. Certainly not in his first season. Is there anyone who's going to score more goals than Erling Haaland from a forward position? I don't think so either. So it's always the same. You just balance it. But if you want Salah and Haaland in your team, then that starts costing so much money, as we said on the first show of the season. So I will have literally the fear of missing out of Erling Haaland not being in my team. And I might still change again and have him. Just because I know he's going to score goals and I know he's going to do well, better this season than last season. But it's very difficult to have them both in a team and still have the rest of your team very good, especially if you want to bench boost in game week one. Mm.
Worryingly, I don't have any City in my team now because I had Ait Nouri and Marmoush in my first draft. But I just, it comes to that whole thing of having to take money out of the defence. Ait Nouri was one of the first that I took. Sam, have you got any? Oh, well, other than Trafford, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I've got three because I've still got Cherki and Ait Nouri the minute. So I've got three of them, which I don't know. Like, it's one of those, isn't it, where because of the bench boost in game week one and I like the fixture against Wolves, like my team is very much skewed by the need for or by the desire to bench boost in game week one. So that is having an impact on how I'm thinking. I think I'm not sure about any of my City picks, to be honest. Like, I've got three of them. I'm not sure I will end up with any of them by the time the season actually starts. Or if I do, it might be slightly different ones. Like, I keep going backwards and forwards on Ait Nouri and whether I'd be better off to just go for Gvardiol instead. Or whether I just don't have a City defender at all because Trafford's there. So maybe I don't need both. But then, and then I could maybe get an Arsenal defender in early or however I manage it. I think for me, my big dilemmas are the midfielders because ideally I want Rodgers. And if I can find the 0.5, then the upgrade from Cherki makes a lot of sense. So I'll probably do that. Cole Palmer is the one that I've got absolute fear of missing out on at the moment. He's the one that I look at my team and go, how do I get another 10.5 player in there? And realistically, the only way I can do it is to go back down from Gyökeres to a much, much cheaper forward and then upgrade in the midfield, which is doable. However, it does mean that it's unlikely then that I can bench boost because the bench that I'd be boosting just feels a bit pointless. So it would just mean moving that till later on. And I don't know how I feel about that. Like at the minute, I feel like I want to do the bench boost in one. It feels like a good opportunity to just do it and then move forward with a team that I can condense down into probably a 12 or a 13 rather than a 15-man squad. I can kill off a couple of positions for those opening rest of the season until we get to wildcard time or the unlimited transfers around AFCON where I can start rebuilding my squad to help me with that busy festive period. So Palmer and Rodgers, they're my big fears right now. I just don't really know. Rodgers is much, much easier to get to. 0.5 is relatively easy to find. 10.5 is much, much more difficult. And it's going to take some other compromises. And there's so many that I feel like I'm locked down on already that I don't necessarily want to make compromises by taking money out of the other bigger players that I've got. So then I'm like, faffing around trying to decide which of the cheaper ones can come down by 0.5. But every time I do that, it weakens the squad as a whole, which then makes the bench boost less
attractive.
But you
prefer having Wirtz than Palmer?
But there's a significant price difference there. Like even to find 2 million is tough. Because you're not taking it out of another premium. Like there's not a premium in there that I really want to get rid of. Like I've already downgraded a couple of premiums out of my defence from last week. I don't really want to lose another one. So I think that's the issue, is that finding even 2 million to go from Wirtz up is tough. I'd ideally like to keep Wirtz as well. So it's same every season, right? You just have to decide on who your priorities are and go with them, because there's going to be other signings that come in across the rest of this window as well, ahead of game week one and also beyond game week one, and they're going to potentially have an impact on the players that you want as well. So it's just giving your team as much flexibility as possible and trying to make sure that you're not compromising too much, I guess, on the players that you really want. And in this squad, the players that I really want are there. It's kind of like by the time I get to like the fifth and the sixth choices, they're the ones I'm struggling to fit. It's the Rodgers and the Palmer picks.
It's amazing to see, like, I mean, Wirtz is already owned by 36% of the managers, which is a lot, considering he's never played in the Premier League. And I know he's played friendlies and we've seen him. And we said he scored his first goal for Liverpool, yesterday on Wednesday. But still, Gyökeres has never played for Arsenal yet. And he's owned already by 25% of the managers. That's one every four managers in the game owns Gyökeres, who's never even played for Arsenal yet. So there's also that excitement of like, okay, sign is going to be in the Premier League. Whether you're an Arsenal fan or not, it doesn't matter so much, really. And I find that incredible. And Salah is 55% or 56% owned. And Wirtz is 36% owned. Or just the two of them, if you have them, it's just such a massive, massive ownership for two Liverpool players, Liverpool midfielders.
And that's the thing you have to consider, George, right? Because if you go into the season without one of the most heavily owned assets, by the time you get to game week two, you could be massively behind if they start well. So there
and
is that element
out.
Of...
And price
absolutely, because they'll rise. Yeah, so and you see this, don't you? Obviously, because Liverpool play first in game week one, inevitably what we'll see is somebody will have a brilliant game. And by the time we get to the Sunday of game week one, they'll have gone up by 0.2. And then you're struggling because unless you've left 0.5 in the bank, you can't get to them because you can't do a straight swap from the one that you've got. You won't want to move early because potentially the straight swap player that you've got won't even have played by the time they're going to first rise in price. So that's an issue to contend with as well. And you can easily get behind in the opening 2 weeks. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying once you're behind, you can never catch up, because clearly you can. But the point I'm making is that you don't want to be going, okay, I'm going into the season without a player that's owned by 40% of the game, and then having to, within a game week or two, chase your tail to try and bring them into your team. It's easier in pre-season to kind of monitor that price stuff and just be aware of it so that you can make sure, one, that you don't do what we're talking about and potentially get priced out of a player, but also with your kind of bench options, what you don't want to do is get yourself into a situation where they drop in price because they're heavily owned, because they're not performing that well, which will happen with some of the cheaper ones. So it's just being really mindful of what other people are doing by the ownership and just using that to make judgments.
But then Palmer is owned by 50% of the game as well. And if you don't have it, and I think I would rather start with Palmer, and if Wirtz starts really well and does better, and Palmer has a slow start like Chelsea because of the Club World Cup, short holidays, whatever, then it's easier to go from Palmer to Wirtz than the other way around.
Yeah, I feel at the moment I've got Wirtz and Salah almost as like I've got to make a decision. I had my draft without Salah. It felt weird. So now I've got both of them, but I agree with probably both of you, really. It's easier to get to a Wirtz than it is back up to a Cole Palmer, isn't it? Or a Mo Salah, for example. It feels like if you start, I had a draft that didn't have Salah or Haaland, and then all of a sudden, if you need to get back to one of them, you're almost in wild card territory.
You will need to get back to one of them, Kels. Like, I cannot believe that we're going to go through the early part of this season where one of Salah and Haaland, if you remember this time last year, we were having this exact same conversation. And I spent most of pre-season last year with both of them. And then going into game week one, lost Haaland to have Solanke when he signed for Spurs. Less said about that, the better. But that decision cost me a lot of points in the opening weeks because both Salah and Haaland started the season really well. So it's highly unlikely that you're going to go into the season without at least one of them starting the season really well. And if you don't have either, that move is so much more difficult to make. So you have to consider that.
Yeah. When we're talking team structure, Sam, do you think we almost need to have, we talked about it on the first pod where when you get your team, you almost put your premiums in straight away, don't you? And then you build around it because ultimately they take up all your money and you run out and you have to just try and piece in what you can around it ultimately. That's what we're all doing, isn't it? It's a jigsaw. You have your big pieces and then your little ones that kind of go in the edge. But would you say you almost need to have a premium in each position so that you can kind of move across?
That's how I like to do it. Yeah, premium in every position, because at that point, it makes it much more straightforward for you to go, okay, I'm on this premium, but they've not particularly started the season well. So instead, I'm going to swap over and I'm going to go to this one. And it's much easier to make that move. Whereas if you've put all your money in attack and then there's a premium midfielder, you can do it, of course. You can swap the money over, but it's probably going to mean taking a hit because you're going to have to move that money and swap a player in both positions. So for me, I like to try and cover out the price points. So have the most expensive that you can afford in each of the positions and then go down in price increments across the rest of your team. Because then across pre-season, you can watch, as Jules is doing, how everyone's getting on and add people in and out based upon their form and how they're starting the season. And also what their team is doing in pre-season in terms of how they look, new signings, what that might mean for them across the rest of this campaign. So yeah, that's how I like to do it. Set a premium up everywhere and then give yourself as much flexibility as you can.
So your premiums at the moment, if you just got Virgil and Aitnori, you're two. I guess we talk about defenders in terms of premiums being the 6 millions this season.
Yeah, so I've got two now in Virgil and Aitnori.
Yeah.
Like I say, I'm not locked on the Aitnori one, particularly if Trafford is the City number one, because I don't think I'd want to double up. But I will definitely have 2 6 million defenders. I think with the defensive contributions being added this season, having a couple of premium defenders again, it almost feels like the year to go big at the back again because of the stuff that they're adding. Like, and we've not been big at the back for a long time, but it's quite
also
hard because you need the money.
Also, big at the back doesn't feel quite as big. Like, if we were talking big at the back last year, you've been looking at Trent Alexander-Arnold price point. So actually, they're a bit... We can also, we can't afford, there's too many expensive midfielders and forwards, particularly midfielders. But actually, the defence almost helps us have those more expensive forward players. Jules, remind me of your premium defenders.
Saliba and Aitnori. I mean, Paris born and bred, both of them, handsome, talented, smart.
That's enough.
There's nothing else I can say.
No, there's not. And that was a brilliant explanation. I'm sure everyone's going to be
like
running
me,
to bring
basically.
Him in.
That's what you meant. Yeah, that's what you meant.
It's definitely not what I meant. Okay, so there are premium midfielders. Just a quick word on... So we're all slightly different on our premium midfielders too. We've all got Salah. I've got Saka. Jules, you've got Palmer?
Yeah, Salah and Palmer, yeah.
Sam's looking on enviously. Sam, you've got...
But after Salah, it's Vert is my next most expensive one.
Cool. Whereas there's me over here, Moneybags, who's gone Salah, Saka and Vert.
Oh!
Which is why I've got a lot of 4 million. I'm team Sunderland defence, I'm team Burnley defence. I'm joking. It's not. It's just a team that's trying to cover everything and has got to work out where to compromise. So, but do you think, I think really personally for me, I look at my team and I think that's too heavy there. Two premium midfielders feels the way to go for going forward as well.
Who's your front three then again? Tammy, draw, Pedro?
Jared Bowen and Beto.
That's not bad.
I don't mind the Beto.
Do you know what? Exactly. It's actually not awful. That's what I mean. That's why I kind of saved it, because I was like, I don't hate it. Like my bench is poor at the moment. I've got Saliba
bench.
Yeah,
you have Saka, Wirtz and Salah then in midfield.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a better draft than I had last week, Jules. I promised you that and I've come through.
I could not do worse than last week anyway.
Nope, very true. Very, very true. No,
I mean, yours was pretty bad, Jules. I think yours was worse than Kel's.
No way.
I didn't even know my team midfielder would have beaten was. I couldn't even remember who it was. No, but I think the problem is, it's like the difference between my fifth midfielder, for example, is Lewis Miley rather than a Caicedo or someone like that, because I've got 4.5 million fifth midfielder rather than a 5.5. And like I've got a Ronaldo. I mean, Jules has got him as well. I've got 3, 4 and 4.5 million defenders. So that's where my compromises have come. It's a little bit, it's very much an anti-bench boost game week one squad is what mine is. Mine is like, wouldn't be able to be bench boosted even in case of emergency. Okay, forwards then. Forwards are the ones I'm struggling with the most actually, because I feel like a lot of us have gone Joao Pedro, but it feels like you can't, I mean, you either go for Haaland or a Salah, don't you? And then, so if you've gone for Haaland, then your other forwards are cheaper. Whereas if you've not got a Haaland in there, it's kind of like, it feels like it's mid-price central, because we've gone big on midfield. I can't really afford a premium striker, Sam.
Correct. Yeah. But then it's like Gyökeres potentially, and again, we'll have to see. I mean, he's bound to score against Spurs, isn't he? Like, so let's see how he gets on. I think he feels like a good opportunity. Like, I was almost surprised that he came in at 9. I thought maybe they might put him at the same price as Saka, particularly with the penalty comments that Arteta made. So I don't, but then equally, as we've added players to the game in the past, they've gone in at kind of around that 9 million price point. So it might be a nice opportunity, I think. Ideally, I'd have liked a premium forward, and he feels like the most expensive one I can get to. Like, obviously at the moment, I can't get anywhere near Haaland, and I don't think I want to either. Like, no, I don't feel like I'm not compelled to go there. In fact, I've not had a single draft yet, and I've had a lot that have had Haaland in, like none. So the Gyökeres pick is the most expensive I've been in the forward line, and this would lock me to playing a front three every week with Gyökeres, Solanke and João Pedro. There's no way you bench any of them. So I guess the question then is, do I want to give myself more flexibility across the rest of my team by not going for one of those three, and by going in with a Beto or a Barry or somebody around the kind of 5.5 to 6 bracket? Because that would obviously free up a lot of money. Mm. But then I look at João Pedro's ownership and I think it seems mad to go without João Pedro when he's so heavily owned.
Yeah,
because
55%.
If he scores, it's going to be painful, like very painful. And I don't see the point in putting myself through some pain for a 7.5 million forward that's quite easy to afford. Like, it's not like he's 15 and I'm expecting him to, like, you know, hurt, but I go into it accepting that. Like, with João Pedro, you can afford him, so just have him is my kind of view. Solanke, okay, maybe I'm biased by the bench boost in game week one, but he's there for that reason. And maybe he doesn't have to be. Maybe that's the player that can drop down a little bit. But I think that's going to depend on how my strategy for the bench boost plays out. So I'm all in on the front line. It's very expensive.
Hmm. The thing as well is Isak, and we don't know what's going to happen with Isak. There's so much speculation, because otherwise, if you don't go for Haaland, then Isak at 10.5... And he's already owned by 32% of the managers, because, you know, some managers have... He's a great player. He's a great Premier League player. He will score goals. There's no doubt. We just don't know what's going to happen, what kind of summer he will have. So for now, it feels strange to go on to bring Isak in your team where we just don't know what's going to happen in his own future. So you go for Gyökeres, who's a bit cheaper. But again, there's so much uncertainty because he's never played even for Arsenal, which I find that fascinating, because there's just a lot of really interesting options that you could go for that, you know, you'll have to wait a little bit more. Same for Ekitike. I think Ekitike has the potential to have an amazing season for Liverpool. If Wirtz and Salah combine well and give him decent service, he's going to score 25 goals this season easily. So then Ekitike at 8.5, you're going like, okay, I don't need Wirtz because I've got Ekitike and Salah, and that makes up for it. And he's the same price as Wirtz, but he's a really good forward to have in your game, and complement him with somebody else like Gyökeres or João Pedro or whoever. Mm. And then Ekitike becomes a great option too.
Mm. It's tough, isn't it? We're all going to be scrambling for these. You kind of almost just have to hedge your bets and be able to move around them, really. And just cover, as you said, Sam, cover the price points. So if you go for the wrong one, but also there's an element, isn't there? I think if you do go for the wrong one, if in game week one, that example you've just given there, if we've all got Wirtz and then actually he's the wrong Liverpool midfielder, it's being able to either move or just go, okay, I'm going to wait a bit. I'm not going to panic, because game week one, we learn a certain amount, but the longer we go on, the more information we have about these players. So yeah, don't panic, which is very, very rich coming from me. Differentials then. We are going to be doing our weekly differential of the season. But of course, we've still got a couple of weeks to go until the game starts. A reminder, differentials are owned by under 10% of managers. For me, I'm way too scared to go for differentials at the start of the season because I don't want to get too far behind. I want to kind of stay in with the pack and have the players that everyone else has got, just to kind of ensure I stay in there and don't get far behind. But Sam, do you go big on differentials at the start?
I think you'll have a couple of fun picks, Kels. Like, surely. Like, I think, like, all the stuff that we've just been saying about covering out the most heavily owned, that's like, yes, definitely do that. But I also think that it's important to look at who's having good pre-seasons, because, like, us in our little FPL bubble, we all kind of look at things in a slightly different way when we're watching football matches, because we're looking at them in terms of the amount of points that they're going to potentially bring us in our teams. And that does throw up some unique and kind of different differentials. So like, I mean, I've got a couple in my team. I'll always have a couple because I think those are the players that ideally I want to change the position and change the picks for as the season rolls on. I mean, hopefully your premium assets start the season, they do really well, you just keep holding them and they grow up in price. That's the ideal, right? And then you're tweaking around the edges with your differential picks to gain that edge over the other people in your mini leagues, and of course to gain your overall rank. Because in reality, if you just have all of the heavily owned players, you're never going to gain that much. You'll gain some over the course of the season, but you won't gain huge amounts. It's the differentials that help you leap and make those big jumps, and if they bang, of course. So I think you need to just make sure that you have a couple. I think at the beginning of the season, it's less important, but as we're going through, it's just keeping your eye on the players that are performing well and making moves towards them quickly as their fixture runs look nice.
Jules, you're just differential FC, aren't you? You're full of them.
Yeah, Adingra 3%, Truffert 2%, Trafford 4%, Reinders 5%. I love a differential. That's why I'm so good at picking them every season. No, but I just think it's hard at the start of the season because there's the your superstars who are going to do well. They always do well. So you don't have, this is easy, really. It's just trying to find some of those players that will bring you points that not many people own, that don't cost you too much. And that's why, that's the other reason why we love the game, right? Because otherwise it's easy if you all pick the superstars or try as much as possible. But the great thing about the game is trying to find an Adingra. Okay, it's a bit more established, really. Or even Truffert, who's just arrived from France, that potentially can have a really interesting season with Bournemouth at left back and have assist points and defensive contribution points and that kind of stuff. And that's why it's also quite exciting. So I love a differential. Even at the start of the season, I just don't think it's too much of a risk either.
I wish I was bolder like you guys. Let's talk fixture runs then, because that's something else that we do have to look at in terms of form. We also look at fixtures for players. As you know, you can go on the Premier League app and you can kind of look at all of the fixtures, and they're marked with the FDR, the fixture difficulty ranking. And you can also kind of chunk them into blocks and then also use your wild cards and chips, as well as, of course, building up your free transfers. Now we have the luxury of having more transfers. And then you can make your team align with the fixtures, especially this can be useful in the first few weeks of the season, because of course that's when we have less evidence of form to go on. In terms of the opening 6 weeks of fixtures sorted by difficulty, who stands out to you, Sam?
Well, Sunderland are top, which is interesting in itself. Newly promoted
hello
team.
Differentials.
Hello, yeah. Differentials. Hello, some cheap defenders. Because actually there does look like there will be some clean sheets in there. Obviously they play West Ham on the opening day. That's always an interesting game against West Ham. So we'll see how that goes. And then after that, there's a newly promoted derby with Burnley before they play Brentford, who, I mean, what even are Brentford going to look like in comparison to what we saw last season? New manager, players leaving, new players coming in potentially. So, you know, the fixture run for them to start the season is quite nice. Under them, it's Brentford, who, as I've just said, like, it's tough with Brentford to know what we're going to get this season. So I'll be watching them in pre-season with interest, because at the moment I've avoided Brentford apart from the Kelleher pick, because I just haven't really known where to go. In seasons gone by, it's been like, okay, I could go Nathan Collins, you go Mbomo, you go Wissa, and it just fits and it's nice. But this year it feels much more difficult to do that. So I mean I think of the traditionally big teams, I guess the one that intrigues me the most in the opening weeks is Chelsea. Their fixtures are really nice for the opening 6 weeks. So they've got Crystal Palace, West Ham, Fulham, Brentford, Manchester United and Brighton. And obviously no Champions League for a little while either. So that helps nicely with this nice run that they've got. So heavily investing in Chelsea for me is a obvious move. And that's why I'm so upset that I can't fit Palmer in at the moment.
Yeah, Villa intrigued me as well. It's that whole thing, isn't it, of not having August midweek fixtures, I think, is a big thing for those opening few weeks. So Villa's opening fixtures are Newcastle, Brentford, Crystal Palace, Everton, Sunderland, Fulham, which is why I was so keen to have one of Morgan Rodgers or Ollie Watkins. It's Morgan Rodgers for me, though. The way he started pre-season, the way he played last season, and his, just in general, he's at 7 million, I think, really good value. Jules, any other teams or names you want to throw in?
Yeah, Spurs are quite high in the
are you feeling all right?
Schedule as well. No, yeah, but I mean, they've got City's second game of the season, but they usually beat City anyway, certainly recently. it's just, again, we don't really know what they will look like under Thomas Frank. And so far, and this, we're recording this before the game against Arsenal, they've looked pretty bad under Thomas Frank in those friendly matches. Sorry, Sam, but you know, you've been watching them too.
I've been watching, yeah.
Yeah, it's been pretty poor with strong teams pretty much every, I mean, there's always a lot of substitutions at halftime and players play 45 minutes, but still some strong teams. But Kudus will come good, Solanke will be good, whatever happened to Son, we don't know yet, but there will still be a lot of talent in that team. It's just we don't really know yet what this team will look like. But apart from the City fixture on game week 2, the rest looks great. You know, it's Burnley, it's Bournemouth, it's West Ham, Brighton, Wolves. So they're games that they can easily start really, really well. So I'm just going to keep watching Spurs and see, because Van de Ven is a good option. Solanke, like Sam said, is a good option. Kudus could become a good option too if he starts well. So yeah, I think Spurs are still interesting.
What are we, pod two of the season, and he's complimented Spurs? I mean, you did say you're quite bad, but...
I mean, Sam needs a bit of boost because they drew with Luton 0-0 and that was pretty dire.
But, you know, Van de Ven kept a clean sheet and, yeah. You know, and what I've now found is I now count defensive contributions as I'm watching friendly matches. So I'm like, tackle... Tackle.
Interception. Block.
Yeah. And it's like, what has become of me that I'm now watching my defenders not thinking, oh, great, they would have got 6 points, which is how I felt about Mickey van der Ven. But then I'm like going, oh, he's got 6 defensive contributions. That wouldn't have been quite enough for the points. Anyway, to be fair, we did play 2 games that day, the day we drew against Luton. And no, we did play half the team in one and half the team in the other. So, you know, if we combine them, Jules, maybe it might be right. We'll see what happens with our teams together later. And of course, we'll have the Super Cup as well to watch Spurs beat PSG. Yeah. So,
PSG, of course, in your dreams. But by the way, Arsenal are second from bottom in that difficult ticket. So again, for the talk about Saka and Saliba and Gyökeres, as we know, it's a very tough start of the season for them as well.
Yeah, Newcastle at the very bottom as well, with Villa, Liverpool, Leeds, Wolves, Bournemouth, Arsenal. So 3 tough games in the opening 6 weeks for them. Okay, then, the good news for you, Sam, is we don't have to continue this Spurs abusive chat from Julien Laurent, because it's time to finish the pod. That's where we're going to leave it this week. We will, of course, be back next week to look at all of the positions in more detail and see how much our drafts have changed. It will probably be a lot. Once again, a reminder again of the FPL Pod Mini League code XY6XPL. Jules, are you still going to be on holiday next week?
Absolutely. Same place, same time.
Oh, lovely. In that lovely garden that's making you very jealous. Look at those blue skies. And Sam, you're going to be where you always are. Well, sometimes you've got
I'll
a holiday
be right
too.
Here.
I'm not going to pretend that you live in that office. You're going to be back there, yeah? No more holidays for you at this time of year.
I will be away once the season starts. So, but for now, I'll be right here.
Okay, and I will be right here as well. No holidays for me. As always, guys, thanks very much for listening. If you haven't already, do subscribe and write us a review because we're going to be here each and every week, as we keep saying. See you next week. Bye.